Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
It's not just the weekend that's full of surprises, Taylor Hicks. It's a Tuesday that's full of surprises, because this is obviously not the sweet, sweet tones of Paul Feinbaum. I'm Jason Fitz, filling in for Paul, not just today, but for the rest of the week. Paul Feinbaum Show is going to be taken over by none other than me. And that means we're going to have some fun, and we're going to talk a lot of SEC, and you guys are going to be involved. You know the phone number, 855-242-7285. I'm going to start with something a little positive. Everybody that calls in today, if you guys don't know my background with ESPN, you should. We've been hanging out so much together over the last several years, but for years I toured in country music, most notably as the fiddle player for the band Perry. So for every single caller today, good or bad, no matter how embarrassing it is, when we first start talking, I'm going to ask you the same thing. I want to know your first concert. What's the first concert you ever went to? And I'll tell you my story of my first concert, a couple notable moments that really influenced the rest of my life out of my first concert ever. I will tell you all about that. But before we get to any of the fun, and before we get to any of the calls, I got to ask you a very simple question. When did SEC fans become such wild cowards? Now, let me clarify this. I lived in Nashville for 20 years of my life. I moved to Nashville around 1996, all right, and still have a house in Hendersonville. So, like, I know the SEC well. And when I first moved to Nashville, it was right in the thick of the Peyton Manning heyday. And admittedly, I grew up around, you know, a lot of NFL background. I grew up around loving a lot of sports. But if you grow up as a kid on the West Coast, you may not grow up a huge college football fan. So I moved to Nashville. It's 96, 97. I'm with my buddies. We're driving around and we're saying, what's everybody so into this thing for? Like, why is college football life? So I go to this bar that no longer exists in Nashville, right? I go into this bar and I'm wearing red just because I had a red shirt on. I didn't know that I was wearing red as I walked in to Alabama taking on the Vols. And the minute I walk in the door, I have a beer thrown in my face and everybody starts yelling at me. And that was the moment I knew that I was going to love college football, that I was going to love the SEC, and that I was going to love everything about the sport. And it's carried through today. Basically everything with the college football, with the football on it for our digital space, our new media, I host all of it. So in the fall, if you watch any of the Twitter, YouTube, ESPN app shows, any of the new media shows involving college football, I'm on almost all of them, right? It is the sport that I love to cover more than any other, because I don't have a favorite team. I don't care who wins or loses. I love the pageantry. I love the competition, and I love the fandom. That's why I'm particularly blown away by SEC fans, SEC schools, SEC coaches, and the mindset that's overtaken everybody in the last few months. Hell, even in the last year. Last year around this time, we got to hang out. I got to come on this show, and I was looking back at some of the things that we talked about, and it's funny how name, image, likeness was a huge part of the Paul Feinbaum Show a year ago, and it still is today, as coaches are now suddenly yelling at each other all over the place about competition, about what's fair, about how teams and schools can compete. And everybody's making it sound like, oh, shucks, we don't have a chance. I mean, we all saw the Jimbo blow up against everything Alabama, right? We've seen the Saban commentary. We've heard from all of them. And I want to hear from you guys, 855-242-7285. You know the drill, right? We've all heard the coaches yelling at each other. And there's just such an aw shucks, guys. I mean, in this new world, I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't understand it. Like, at some point, you got to look at it and say, okay, here's the new world. Here's what we're going to do. And that's true of anything, whether it's football or whether it's music or whether it's sports or whether it's any job. Like, if you grew up working on cars, guess what? Cars have changed. So you don't get to sit there and complain about it every single time. At some point, you got to look at it and say, well, guess what? Now you plug a car into a computer and it tells you what's wrong. Guess I better figure out how to work the computer stuff, because I want to keep being successful. You grow up in the music business like I did, right? Like there was this spot I remember sitting on a tour bus years ago. I was sitting on a tour bus with Phil Vassar. And I remember one of the guys was talking about how suddenly CDs were going to go away. And we all laughed at him. I laughed at him. I was like, there's no way people are going to stop buying CDs, right? Now all of a sudden, when's the last time anybody bought a CD? Hell, you can't find CD players half the places you look, right? And at some point you look at it and say, okay, this is the new world. How are we going to be successful at it? I was listening to country music the other day. I heard a new act talking about the fact that his marketing team spent 3 months working on their TikTok marketing plan to make the single a hit. And the song went to number one. Why? Because they looked around at some point and said, hey, this may not be the way you used to build up a single, but it's how you build one up now. And I want to be at the top of the charts. Look at ESPN. What did I just say? I mean, I host basically everything that's on new media. Well, if you go back to the NFL draft, we set new records yet again for the second straight year for viewership and time spent watching on little tiny apps, on little tiny phones, on Twitter and YouTube and Facebook. One of the shows that I helped launch was SportsCenter on Snapchat. Over 2 million kids a day watch SportsCenter on Snapchat every stinking day. Now, that may not make sense to you. Heck, it may not make sense to me. But that's the new market. And if you're ESPN, boy, you got to thrive in the new market. The SEC that I grew up around, the SEC that I grew up loving, the SEC that I lived in the middle of, man, that SEC was fearful of nothing. You walk into any situation, that SEC, oh, that fan, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if Auburn's better than Alabama when it comes to that game. Everybody believes. So when did that change? When did it suddenly become, woe is me, we can't compete? When did it suddenly become, well, everybody else is cheating now, and I don't know how I'm going to keep up with that? When was there ever this presumption that your favorite school couldn't go out and beat everybody else's favorite school? How did that mindset change? Because see, what I love is a college football fan base that's angry all the time because they know they're better than everybody else and they feel like they're not getting enough credit. That's the version I love. I mean, I roll my eyes at the fact that every time Clemson wins a game, boy, Clemson fans come at me. They do. Every single time they win anything of note, they come at me. Now, they're quiet when they don't win, right? Y'all know you do that. You go out to your favorite people. You come at Paul. If Paul says that a team's not good and they turn out to be, oh, everybody goes at Paul, right? That's confidence. That's swagger. That's what SEC football is about. That's what college football is about at the highest level. It's about swagger. I don't fear anybody. You can't tell me what to. Fine, if we're going to start paying players, as Nick Saban wants to put it that way, if we're going to start making sure everybody across the board gets paid, cool. Then the only thing you should be worried about now is how do we pay more? If it's truly the Wild West, and oh my God, we're basically the NFL without a salary cap, cool. If that's the system, what happened? Go back and check your history books on what happened a few years ago when there was a lockout in the NFL and there was a year with no salary cap. There were a handful of teams that went out and said, cool, you're going to let me play this game? I will play this game. They actually penalized teams afterwards for spending so much in the 1 year because they thought it was bad for the game. If college football couldn't get their act together, if the NCAA couldn't get their act together in time to try and figure out their own plan and their own ways to make name, image, likeness something that was easy for the whole nation to get behind, if it is truly the wild, wild west, when did SEC fans become the little old lady that's scared in the saloon that doesn't want to step outside? Because the version of the SEC that I know, man, those are the gunslingers that come out right to the middle of the lane and say, let's go. Let's get it on. And now you have everybody from the top to the bottom. You have everybody from the fans to the coaches to the administrators saying, oh, guys, I don't know what we're going to do. Heaven forbid, these players are getting paid now and it's going to ruin college football. How? How is it going to ruin college football? And more importantly, if it ruins college football, why are these brilliant minds responsible for college football not capable of figuring out how to be competitive in the new market? It's a simple question. See, at some point, business changes. And if you want to stand with your feet stuck in the ground and not change with it, you get left behind. And no matter how much you want to yell and scream, at some point, if you look across the way that college football is, you can keep worrying about what it used to be. You can keep worrying about how it used to look, or you can turn around and say, you know what? This is the new world, and we're going to kick the snot out of the new world. That's something the NFL actually does better than college football. The NFL actually stays ahead of it all when it comes to college football, in the sense that the NFL understands constantly how they need to change, how they need to evolve, and every NFL team finally looks around and says, I may not like it. Oh, it may feel weird to have a 17-game regular season instead of 16, but boy, if that's going to make us more money, then that's what we'll do. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Jason Fitz, filling in 855-242-7285. That's the way you get in on the calls, 855-242-7285. Remember, I'm going to ask you your first concert. Don't be thrown off. We got a couple of you guys already on hold. We will get you in. Plus, we'll tell you what all of this fear means when it comes to the scheduling issue in college football right now. The SEC has big decisions to make, and I think they should not let fear be a part of those decisions. I'll tell you why. Plus, we'll take your calls coming up next. I'm Jason Fitz, sitting in for Paul on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
It's the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Jason Fitz, sitting in for Paul. Oh, feels good to be back in the seat, hanging out, talking a little bit of SEC love and magic. Remember, everything I say is with love, although Twitter already mad at me because I implied that SEC fans are cowards. I'm just saying. We'll continue to get a breakdown on that. 855-242-7285. You guys always make this show what it is. I can tell you, honest to God, when you're sitting in Bristol and you find out that you get the ask to sit in for Paul, one of the things you get excited about is not only filling the seat of the great Paul Feinbaum, but also getting to hang out with everybody that calls the show every day. You guys are a big part of what makes this show awesome. So all I'm going to ask that's a little different today is your first concert. I just want to know your first concert because of my music background. So you guys are hanging on, and we'll get to the scheduling issue in just a minute. And first, I want to take David in Alabama. David, thanks for calling the show. First and foremost, first concert.
First concert was the Eagles, the Long Run Tour. In 1978.
David, that is such a cooler answer than, like, I'm 44. And, like, I just think that there's a generational thing that happens when your answer is any band in the 60s or 70s. It's cool. Was it an awesome show? Did you love it?
Oh, it was great.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. So you've called about Saban and Jimbo. What do you got, brother? Thanks for calling the show.
All right. We all know that Jimbo had the nerve to say that it wasn't the NIL. Everybody's coming to A&M because it's a great place to be. I got some stats. 2018, Jimbo had no 5-stars. 2019, he had 2. 2020, he had 2. 2021, he had 1. Then the NIL was introduced. This year, 7 5-stars and the highest rated class of all time. Now, doesn't that make perfect sense after losing to Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arkansas, LSU, and finishing 4-4 in the SEC? It makes perfect sense that the nation's best players want to come to Texas A&M because it's a program on the rise.
Now, let me ask you this, though, David. Like, because what you're saying makes total sense. Yes, I've talked to a lot of former players, and they all say the same thing. The ultimate goal for everybody is not to make a little cash now. It's to make a lot of cash in a little bit when they get to the NFL. So what do you think that a paycheck, even a million-dollar paycheck today, is reason that somebody would hurt their chances to be able to play on Sunday in 4 years?
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, that's where we disagree, man, because I'm thinking you could get a short-term paycheck now, but if you don't get drafted – Look at how many guys fell in the draft this year, and we talk about, oh, my God, what's it mean for somebody that all of a sudden we thought was going to be a first-round pick and instead is a third-round pick? Like, it sure made a lot of sense to play on Georgia's defense last year because you made money just a month ago in the draft.
Right, right. Well, I don't know of any A&M players that would, as the draft goes on, make that money. So, if we look in the last few years, Alabama and LSU has led the charge. So, and I just want to end with this, brother. As Jimbo, he used words like narcissist, God, go back, talk to who worked for him, all that kind of stuff. If I have to make somebody else's candle look dimmer than mine to make mine look brighter, it says a lot more about my character than theirs. Roll Tide.
David, thanks for the call, brother. And look, I see where you're coming from, but I think you're leaving out a big part of context in that. I mean, at the same time, Jimbo, look, and I said this on Spain and Fitz, which is on ESPN Radio Monday through Friday, 7 or 9, me and Sarah Spain, said at the time, like, these two men, and I'm talking about Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher, are the highest paid educators in their state to go out and represent the colleges that they wear on their chest. And constantly we ask players to live to a certain standard that best represents the college. Neither coach did this because Nick Saban came out as somebody that represents the University of Alabama through and through. Nick Saban came out with that logo on his chest, and he spoke with vague comments that had no actual proof behind them. And if you're going to make that accusation, and you are a leader of young men, you don't get to make that accusation without accountability. So Nick Saban dropped the ball by not coming out and saying specifically what he was talking about, instances he was talking about, and what proof he had. He came out and spoke with vague comments. Now, conversely, I'll say the same thing about Jimbo, who's supposed to be a grown-ass man coming out and doing the same thing. You are supposed to come out and speak with such authority to exactly what you're talking about. And what did he say? Oh, go back and look. No, that doesn't work. Tell me specifics for both of these men. The problem is both of these men are acting like children when they stand in front of a microphone and they suddenly say, oh, yeah, well, he did this and he did that without telling us what this and that is. You don't get to do that. At some point, man, if a quarterback for Alabama, any player, if a star player for Alabama and a star player for Texas A&M had said the exact same things, they would have gotten their hides just torn up by those coaches for doing that exact same thing. It's one of the big issues I have, man. We tell kids all the time, understand the minute you're not on campus that you represent the school everywhere you go. We tell the kids all the time, understand the minute you stand up in front of a microphone, when you talk to somebody, when you do anything, you are representing the school. Man, these two coaches did not represent their schools well. And you know it. If you take your fan hat off, you know that these were two grown adults acting like children in front of a microphone and doing it in a way where they can never be pinned in on whatever they're talking about because they didn't give you specifics. Nah, I don't work with that. You stand up in front of a microphone, you give me specifics. Mario in Memphis, thanks for calling the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Jason Fitz. Your first concert, Mario, what do you got?
How you doing? You doing okay today?
I'm great, man. I am great. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I can't complain. Got a couple of questions for you, if you don't mind. I have a question. The first question is, how can I put this? That game between Alabama and Texas A&M on the 10th of October, like, how special is that game going to be in your standards?
No, they've turned it into the game of the year, absolutely. Like, they knew what they were doing. They put even more eyeballs on what was already going to be a wildly watched game.
Okay, I have another question. So for you to say that, how much watered down would that game be if A&M is not undefeated on that day going into Tuscaloosa?
I don't think it's that watered down because of what happened last year. I mean, I think honestly, anytime, I mean, look, at the end of the day, we make SEC matchups a big deal. I mean, it doesn't matter if the teams are where we thought they would be, but you know, I don't think that, you know, to your point, I don't think that suddenly there's going to be millions less eyeballs or millions more eyeballs. Like if A&M goes in with a terrible record, people were going to watch the handshake on social media, not on TV.
Gotcha. Well, I'm expecting for Alabama to win that game, you know, and it might be another upset. You never know. But going on with that schedule, what do you think Jimbo is going to be able to do with those five-star players? Because I just don't see him winning 10 games. I'm sorry. I just don't do it. I just can't see it. What do you think he's going to do with that talent?
I think Jimbo's a very good coach, and he's got great talent around him. Is that enough in the SEC? No, I think the SEC has become normalized enough that, you know, teams can lose games along the way. Mario, I appreciate the call, man. Thanks for hanging out with me. To me, you know, you start to look at talent. Talent wins football games to a certain extent, but also, you never know what's going to happen. We live through that. Is A&M going to win 10 games? Man, that just depends on how good everybody else in the SEC is. Will we make excuses for them if they don't? Yeah. Will we absolutely destroy Jimbo if they don't? Yeah. I mean, all of those things are true. I'm looking at Texas A&M at some point and saying that, you know, Jimbo has come in and he managed to get one thing done that needed to be done. He beat Alabama. Is that enough? No. Does he understand the pressure he's under? Yes. But also, let's not get it twisted. Jimbo didn't start the fight with Saban. Saban started the fight with Jimbo. So if we believe that A&M is no threat to Alabama, then why the hell did he decide to punch down? Like, that makes no sense to me as a coach. If you're in that situation, why would you punch down if you don't need to punch down? It doesn't make any sense to me at all. Let's get one more in here real quick. James in Montgomery, Alabama. James, thanks for calling the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Jason Fitz. James, we didn't do it with the last caller. I forgot it. What was your first concert? Before you give me your college football point, I need your first concert.
Run DMC, LL Cool J.
Oh, man. Let me. You didn't ask for this, but I'm going to give you an LL Cool J story. I was playing the Grammys years ago, and LL Cool J was the host of the Grammys. And here I am, this little fiddle player, and I was such an LL Cool J fan as a kid, you know, and so somebody found out, and they took me to LL's dressing room, and we just sat down and talked for like half an hour. He is the nicest, kindest, coolest guy. Like, oh, and what a badass concert. Was it a good show?
Yeah, it was very good. I was kind of disappointed, though. It was, for some reason, I don't know why I thought Aerosmith would have been there, because that was back when Run DMC had the big duet with Aerosmith, but it was a great concert.
Yeah, your fun fact is that the history books tell you that Run DMC and Aerosmith never liked each other and didn't want to do it as a duet at all. Run DMC didn't want Aerosmith on it, so there was probably some like unknown bad blood at the time. Pre-internet, nobody knew. All right, so now that we've talked music, what you got on the college football landscape? What you calling the show for?
Okay, the NIL. There needs to be a cap on it. I mean, 18, 19-year-old, 20-year-old kids should do fine with a $200 max, a $200,000 max on the cap. That would keep everybody kind of competitive. Everybody could, all the major schools could do that. You know, it's not just the oral schools that are in it then. And, you know, 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid, $200,000 a year, that would be plenty of money. And that would also keep those kids hungry to get to the next level. You know, like you're saying, you know, these kids are taking these NIL deals and going to any old college versus the ones that watch draft day and see who's put you into the NFL. The kid that went to Deion Sanders school, I mean, how many NFL talent do they have? You know, not a lot. So that tells you there was a reason he went there, and it wasn't just because they had a good homecoming day.
But why, if you're a kid, if you're the kids in this equation, why would you be okay with that? Why are we capping the income that a kid can make other than to make things fair for college football?
Everybody works for somebody. You're going to be working for somebody your whole life. So you're going to make money for somebody your whole life. And it doesn't matter, even if you're an entrepreneur, you still got to have a customer. You are working for somebody. So, I mean, these kids, you know, I thought I saw a deal where some of them were making more than one of the wide receivers in the NFL already.
Yep, that is absolutely happening. But I guess my question on that is, why are we capping them other than
at 18 years old, to keep it competitive, to keep everybody in the equation, and not just Texas A&M, Texas, Ohio State, USC, Alabama. You know, everybody can afford to pay a guy, you know, that kind of money. That's not a program breaker. You know, Jacksonville State could afford that. You know, all right, I've got 10 kids now, and I can pay them $200,000 a year. You know, that's what their NIL deal is. And you could, you know, at 18 years old, could you have lived comfortably on $200,000 a year?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's no doubt. But Daisy Ridley, the actress that was in Star Wars, gets roughly $5 million a movie. And she's younger than most of these athletes. Like, we don't put earning caps on Justin Timberlake when he's out there singing around, you know, as a kid in NSYNC. They all made close to $100 million. We weren't worried about putting a cap on any of that for any sort of reason. Like, at some point, I understand why it works for college football. I don't understand, if I'm the kid, why I'm okay with a cap on it when there's no, like, caps are usually collectively bargained. So if you're going to start collectively bargaining a cap on it, then you're asking for unionization of all of these athletes in a really complicated conversation about future health care and all of these sorts of things that become even a larger issue. I understand from your standpoint why I'd want that if I'm Cincinnati or Memphis. I don't understand why I'd want that if I'm a quarterback being recruited.
Oh, no, you wouldn't. And I mean, and just like, you know, like the professional players, Tom Brady, he was worth a lot more than he was getting paid, but he took a cut in the pay, or he didn't go for the max to keep his team competitive. You know, it's now generation, it's all about me, but, you know, that won't get you very far in life.
Well, and I understand what you're saying, and thanks for the call, man. I think what's hard about this is two things. We're looking at it through a bubble of football. And one thing I'll say, you know, I know that this may not sound like the, like, hottest, sexiest take in the world, but I've worked a lot with people, particularly around some of the Big Ten schools that have cut Olympic sports. And I don't say non-revenue generating sports because, frankly, those sports do generate revenue. If you look at gymnastics, for example, the amount of money that is being generated by athletes that are gymnasts already from their social media is in the millions of dollars. Why am I going to cap a gymnast and what they can make in the future when they may not have the ability to monetize the way football players do? Look at Paige Beckers, the basketball player at Connecticut. Yes, she may have a great opportunity in the WNBA, but she can make money right now. And you look at the WNBA and the limited roster, there are tons of college athletes that are women's basketball players that have the opportunity to make more than $200,000 a year right now playing women's college basketball. So why am I going to prioritize the football above all other sports when there are so many other student athletes that are out there trying to earn their opportunity? I mean, if you're a swimmer and you want to be a coach, or you want to be able to adjudicate different competitions, you want to be able to use your platform as a swimmer for good, you should be able to. If you're an offensive lineman that has no shot at making it in the NFL, but you want to teach at camps, you should be able to do that. So I have a hard time saying, well, we're going to limit this because it's best for the competitive balance of college football, when there's more to all of this than just college football. And above and beyond that, these are standards we don't hold music kids to, and we don't hold entertainment kids to. We just hold football kids to, because we want to make sure that our football is competitive. 855-242-7285. That's how you get in on the phones. You guys have slammed them as always. 855-242-7285. We'll take more of your calls on all of these topics. Plus, I will get into a little bit of the scheduling issue for the SEC and why it still screams of people being scared. We'll do all that coming up on the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Jason Fitz, sitting in for Paul.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Paul Feinbaum Show. Delightful vocals you hear, though. Not the sweet, sweet tones of Paul Feinbaum. I'm Jason Fitz, sitting in for Paul, not just today, but for the rest of the week. I want you guys to hang out with me, 855-242-7285. You guys are fired up at me and fired up at each other, so I'd say so far, everything's going swimmingly well. Remember, I am going to ask you when you call in what your first concert was. Give me a great memory from that, and I will get you mine in a little bit. It actually played into my touring life later when I was on the road. That's called a tease. But in the meantime, you guys are you're mad at each other, which I love. Like, this is the best part about the Feinbaum audience, and I mean this genuinely, is listening to everybody hang out is like being at a sports talk bar where everybody's just sort of yelling at each other about some of the takes, and that's happening already. As David earlier made it very, very clear that he was out on all things A&M because of the rise in top recruits this year versus other years. Came with all of his info, well prepared. But Ryan in College Station has said, no good, sir. You will not get away with that slander. Before you respond to David, though, Ryan, what was your first concert?
Hey, what's going on? So my first concert, funny enough, was also the Eagles. Back when I was a little kid, my dad took me there in the Dallas area. Went to A&M, graduated just a few years ago in 19, and actually here in Hoover for the tournament this week. One of the things that surprises me the most is actually one of the future SEC teams that's coming in. That school in Austin that wears burnt orange. One of the things that blows my mind is everybody bringing up the 8-4 record from this year and having the number one recruiting class. But that school in Austin, finishing 5-7 this year and also finishing top five in recruiting. I know that, not a lot has been made of their NIL deals that have been coming up. But I just found it really interesting that part often gets left out. In addition to that, too, one of the things this year that I thought really, really a lot of people just dismissed was the fact that A&M beat both of the Alabama schools, within a month time frame, both on huge recruiting visits. And I feel that oftentimes gets really dismissed in this whole conversation. Just wanted to kind of see your thoughts on that.
Well, and Ryan, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. I'm going to say a couple of things here. Number one, you remember the phrase when we were kids, like two wrongs don't make a right, two sucks don't make a good. So you're right. Texas, definitely a massive disappointment. I mean, Texas just absolutely, and I appreciated your loyalty to not saying their name. Texas, a massive disappointment last year. Also, I would say, to your point about A&M, I can't speak for every show because, honestly, this sounds like such a humble brag jerk thing to say, but I'm working all day on Saturdays for ESPN. We get in at about 11 a.m. And start our first production meeting, and then we watch and chart games from noon all the way until the college football show at night. We do our college football show digitally, and then we chart the late night game, and we do a wrap-up show. So I'm literally on campus from 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. every Saturday with all the college football heads. And all I can tell you is that if it didn't get enough conversation, then I wonder if maybe you just weren't watching the times when it was getting conversation. Because I think there was a lot of love to A&M for the wins that they got in the moments they got them. I just think that there are heavy expectations, And obviously the other part of it is we have to accept that the last 2 years have been the farthest thing from normal for everybody. So I'm willing to put a little bit of the result to the side for a lot of this and say, what's the process? And, I think A&M is on the right track. And obviously the recruiting has been quality and Jimbo's a coach that has platform. And that's interesting in and of itself because much like Harbaugh, sometimes we only look at results. And I also look at just the fact, are you even in the conversation? That happens in large part because of Jimbo. So, I think you make a fair point that, it's also fair to critique Texas. I just don't know that really changes anything. Like, this is the biggest challenge in sports fandom is can we not argue like kids? Because how often when you were busted doing something by your mom, would you look over and be like, yeah, but my brother did this, right? Like, Nobody cares. I mean, at the end of the day, you're living in your own bubble of good or bad. And the wins were good, but the bad were the losses and a record that wasn't up to what most people expected from A&M. 855-242-7285. That's how you get in on the fun. 855-242-7285. I'm sorry, Cam. I was just going to pull the fourth wall back. Did you say what did you say, Cam? No, we got a break. Okay, we'll get more of your calls coming in. I totally messed that up. We'll get more of your calls coming in, and we'll talk a little bit about the schedule next on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Jason Fitz filling in.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Paul Feinbaum Show, Jason Fitz filling in for Paul. 855-242-7285. That's how you get in on the fun. So many of you guys are hanging on. We're going to get straight to you now. Remember, I am asking your first concert, though, so don't leave that detail out. We'll get to Carl. Carl wants to respond to James, who had an NIL take that all athletes should be capped at $200,000 a person to keep everything competitive. Carl, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you chiming in. First concert.
First concert. Temptations in the Four Tops.
See, that's just
I don't sound that old, but
was it a good show though? Were they great?
Great show. I was pretty young. I tagged along, I think, with my parents. So, but I do have some vivid memories of it.
That's
great, show though.
I'm jealous of that one. Okay, give me your response to James on his NIL take.
So I'm on board with you with respect to I don't know why we treat college football players, basketball players any different than musicians, actors. Of the young people who have the opportunity to make as much money as possible, but the idea that you cap $200,000 for an NIL deal for every school, just to, every school's on an equal playing field, then you'd have to go back to how much these schools spend in the recruiting budget, their facilities. You'd have to knock down Oregon's facilities to make them look like Cincinnati's, I guess, was your example. So. I'm not in favor of capping anything. Maybe there should be some rules and regulations that they could brainstorm about, but putting caps on people's ability to make money at whatever age, they're adults, age 18, they should be able to make as much money as possible. And these schools have the money, and if they don't have the money, it's just like where we are at square one today with respect to their budgets and how much. You know, you can take a recruit to Alabama and show them their facilities in Oregon, in Texas, and they're going to be much different than some of the other schools that will have the same budgets.
I am going to steal that point from you from now on, Carl. That's a great call, and I appreciate it, man. Like, I keep thinking about when we were touring, and you mentioned Oregon a couple of times. It was funny because there were only a few schools when I was on tour in country music. There were only a few schools that you just couldn't walk into the athletic facility. Usually when you're playing on a campus, because you're playing in like the basketball arena, they give you sort of full run of everything. Oregon was one where we had to have an escort take us into the facility, and then they stood with us the whole time while we were working out because they want to make sure nothing gets damaged and it's all very precious. Like Kentucky is another one. Kentucky basketball arena, you know, out in Lexington, you had to have somebody walk you into the men's basketball arena area, and it was different. Like, when you think about the different facilities, I've been everywhere between country music and then traveling with Game Day a couple of years ago. You see how different all of these arenas are and how different all of these stadiums are. And it screams to the concept of equity across the board that different schools have different budgets for recruiting. They have different budgets for coaching. They have different budgets for training. They have different budgets for nutrition. Like, all across the board, the college football landscape has never been fair. The difference is, at least it's been predictable. Like, everybody knows the system. And look, college football fans hate change. I think college football administrators hate change. I think college football coaches hate change because change becomes very difficult to navigate. And this change particularly was difficult for name, image, likeness, in fairness to everybody that's dealing with it, because there is no manual on how to handle it. And it took all of 3 seconds for people to try and figure out how to create collectives that could get around the systems, whatever systems there were that were in place, right? Now, college football has nobody but themselves to blame, because at the end of the day, college football had the opportunity to create rules and they didn't. And eventually it was the law that stepped in. It was everybody else that stepped in. It's our lawmakers that said, nope, that's illegal. You can't do that. Shows you how bad the system was. College football didn't save itself. Now, all of a sudden, it's eating itself alive in some ways. And people are going to complain under the thin sort of veil of competitiveness that what you need to do is limit the athletes. But we haven't been limiting facilities. My buddy Braden Gall always said the measure of an athletic director was how many cranes were there in the air, how much building is being done on a campus. It doesn't speak to equity across the board. It doesn't speak to fairness. But nobody cares about that until it impacts their favorite players. 855-242-7285. That's how you guys get in on it. A bunch of you guys want to hang out. 855-242-7285. I'll be sure to get more thoughts on your first concerts. I've got a great story on my own first concert experience. Plus, we've got some expertise coming up on what we could expect from the SEC as they begin their meetings. That's all coming up. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, hanging out with you. I'm Jason Fitz, in not just today, but all week for Paul.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.